Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see all of you. Seems to be that we're all together again. A couple of weeks ago was the camp out, so we were missing the young people. And, you know, in my last sermon, which was that time, we answered the question, why is there evil and suffering in the world if there is a God? And as you remember, those who were here, an elderly customer of mine had asked me this question: if there is a God, why is there evil and so much suffering in the world? And, well, I answered him, you know, that the best I could, that Satan is the God of this world, that God is not really in everybody's lives trying to prevent tragedies and accidents and all that. And so I told him a little bit about Satan, the devil, that he's the God of this world. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4 and Galatians 1:4, you can read of how God has allowed Satan to shape the world we live in. And Satan was the first one to reject God. And then, as we know, he enticed Adam or Eve first to also reject God. And Satan's rebellion, mankind's wrong choices, have not caused God to lose control. God is still in control, although he has kept hands off, except where necessary to work out his plan. Now, I mentioned in the previous sermon that God is not in every person's life trying to prevent tragedy, pain, and suffering now. And because of this statement, I thought I might have left the impression that God is not involved in people's lives at all. And because when the service ended, Mr. Barlow came up to me and said, you know, I feel that God prevented an accident this past week. He was trying out a car. I'll let him tell you. He's not here, but I'll let him tell you the story later. But he felt that God had prevented a serious accident that he could have had that same week. So I'll let him tell you about it. So I felt that I had to clarify my message. So this morning, we'll look at a couple of examples in the Bible where God intervened in people's lives without them knowing it or without them asking God to do it, because God had a purpose for them. So the title of this message is God in Our Lives. And we'll see that God is not daily trying to prevent tragedies and suffering at this time, but he does intervene in some people's lives according to his will and purpose. So we'll look at my first example, which is the story of Joseph. And we all remember Joseph's story. And Mr. Hendron had a sermon on his story some time back, and he asked us to look into our lives and maybe see if God had been in them, you know, intervened in some way, you know. And I always thought about that. Well, Joseph's story is, as you know, his brothers hated him and called him a dreamer, because it seems that all of Joseph's dreams, in every one of Joseph's dreams, his brothers were always bowing before him. And that came true, of course, later on, but he didn't know what was going on. But his brothers hated him for that. And one day, Joseph's father, asked him to go out, asked Joseph to go out and into the field and check up on his brothers, because they were feeding the flock in the field. And so let's go up to Genesis 37, pick up the story. Genesis 37. We'll read verses 18 through 21, and then we'll skip over 26 to 28. Verse 18, we'll read 18 to 21. Now, when they saw him afar, talking about his brothers, they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." Mean people. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Let us now skip to verse 26. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Verse 27. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. In verse 28, then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. So we see that Joseph's brothers decided not to kill him after all, but to sell him. And these traders took him to Egypt. And, you know, this sounds like a really tragic scene, you know, but God can turn suffering into a good outcome or a bad thing into a good one. And we know God was working with Joseph all through. Although he suffered, God caused good things to happen to fulfill the purpose for Joseph. Now, God's purpose was that through Joseph, he would save his entire family from a famine that was coming, and including his brothers. So Joseph, even though Joseph went through all this, Joseph never knew the purpose until the very end, and he rejoiced at the end. Now, when God, through Joseph, saved his family, they had moved to Egypt and lived there for many years. The Hebrews began to multiply until they outnumbered the Egyptians. Now, when a new king who had not known Joseph came to power, he feared that the Hebrews would become Egypt's enemies, and they were, since they were mightier and more in number than them. So he enslaved them. He enslaved the Hebrews, and as we know, they were enslaved for about 400 years. But here he told them, he told the Hebrew midwives that whenever they delivered a boy, they should kill him. But if it was a girl, they should let her live. Let's go now to Exodus 2. Exodus 2. Exodus 2, we see the story of Moses when he was born. Exodus 2, we'll read from 1 to 3. When Moses was born, God saved him. So here in verse 1 to 3, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. So when Moses was born, God saved him through events he worked out for him. After his mother put him in the bank of the river in the ark of bulrushes, God caused Pharaoh's daughter to find him and have compassion on him, on this Hebrew baby. So God worked it out so that Pharaoh's daughter turned Moses over to his own mother without her knowing it, and for her to take care of the baby and raise the child for Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we all know God's purpose for Moses. When God has a purpose for someone, he intervenes and works out events in that person's life. If you think back on your lives, I'm sure you will find that something extraordinary happened, and you might have forgotten already, or you didn't pay too much attention, but something happened that could only be explained by God's intervention. Now, I remember two specific events in my life. The first one occurred in 1967, but it's too long. I won't go into that one. I was in the Army, but if I have time, I will mention it briefly. But the second one was in 1976. I was married, and I was not in church yet. And I was working and went out to pay a bill at noontime in my lunch hour. And, you know, the town where I live, San Benito, is divided with railroad tracks. Railroad runs right through the middle of it. So I had to cross the tracks in order to get to the city hall and pay the water bill. On the way back, I crossed the tracks, but immediately, as soon as I cleared the tracks, I heard this roaring noise of the train. And I mean, I was dumbfounded. I stunned. I looked behind me, and the train was going through, you know, really fast. So I was thankful that the train didn't hit me, of course. But as I thought about it, you know, I just stayed there in the car, you know, for a while, just thinking about it, you know. But, you know, as I thought about it, I thought about it over the years, and I've concluded that that only God and His angels had prevented me, you know, me from having that tragedy, you know. Now, this is unexplainable because I've heard that a train moving on tracks creates a magnetic field that shuts down the electric circuits of a car. And there have been many accidents like these, and the cars always get stuck in the middle of the track, and the train hits them. Now, just this week, if you heard on the news, a charter bus in Biloxi, Mississippi, same thing happened to them. They got stuck in the middle of the track, and they couldn't move, and the train came and hit them. They were mostly elderly people going on a tour, I think, in Biloxi. And I think four were killed and a lot of them were injured. But this is the same thing that happened. And it happens to every single car that tries to cross when the train is coming close by. The magnetic field shuts down the car and they can move. So that was extraordinary to me, you know. And I've thought about it over the years and I know that God had a hand in it. So, and the same thing happened to my wife before we were in the church as well. She told me about it. She was driving a pickup truck. Same thing happened. She crossed over. The train came roaring by. And nothing happened. Let's go now to Hebrews 1:14. Well, you know, I might have a little time before that. I'll tell you about the other one just briefly. I was in the Army in 1967 because it was really extraordinary. 1967, I was in the Army. Two of my friends decided to go to the beach, get some sun, get a tan, you know. I didn't need one, but I went along with them. I went along with them, and as soon as we got there, they got their beach towels. They lay down. I got mine, laid down too, but it seems like they immediately completely relaxed and went to sleep. I got up and decided to go into the water, which I find out is a no-no. You never go into the water alone. I learned my lesson. I went into the water about waist deep, and I was just playing in the water, you know, just having fun. Then gradually I felt that I had been pulled in, you know, because the water was neck high, you know, and I could hardly keep my feet down. So all of a sudden, I saw this 2x6 board coming towards me. And I grabbed it, and I let myself float, and I started paddling. I started paddling with my feet, you know. And it's funny because I went straight. That was what was extraordinary. I went completely straight toward the shore. I didn't have to correct myself or anything. I just went straight. As soon as I was really close, I stood up and went ashore, you know, and my friends didn't even know, and I never told them. But what was extraordinary is that 2x6 board, it was about 5 feet long. It was completely new. And also, it seemed that I knew exactly what to do with it. I just grabbed it. It came towards me. I didn't have to grab it. I mean, get out of my way or move and grab it. It came completely straight to me. And I grabbed it, and I knew almost like I knew exactly what to do. I floated. I started paddling. The thing went straight. It was even enjoyable halfway, you know, when my fear left me, you know. I even enjoyed it, you know. It was fun, you know, to move straight. And I know that if I try to do it again, it would never happen. So let's go now to Hebrews 1:14. I know God was in it. I know God had a purpose. Hebrews 1:14. I'm sorry, they get a little emotional, but Hebrews 1:14. And it says, talking about the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So angels are God's servants, brethren, and serve those who will inherit salvation, those who will become part of God's family. So in conclusion, God is in our lives and intervenes in people's lives according to his will and purpose. So whether they are in the church or not, and God doesn't interfere or intervene in everybody's, in every single person's lives. We know that. But if he has a will and purpose, he will. And his angels will do this job.